Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper, who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
All right. Peace, peace, family. We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotep, Habari Ghani, and Aslam Alaikum. This is Mufasa Ra. What up?
And we are Collective Minds Radio. What up, my brother? We back in the building. Hopefully to share constructive dialogue with the family. This is the New Black Media. We are Collective Minds Radio. Well, we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. So, you know, we back, family. We here. It's been another great week. Like I say, 2020 has been a mug. Things have been going down. There's been a lot of stuff happening. So, like I say, it's one or two ways you can look at it. You can look at it like it's a crisis or it's an opportunity. And, you know, I like to look at the glass half full, so I just see a lot of opportunities out here. But, yeah, we got a great show lined up. Before we get started, my brother Mufasa and Queen Rigel, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for the fam?
I had a lovely week. The only announcement I want to make is to all the fathers out there. I appreciate you, and I've been telling both the hosts for a long time that I know a lot of good men, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that
that's right.
I have been blessed to. I'm not one of the people that's bitter at men that just don't know of a good man. I know a lot of good men, starting with Brother Kevin and Mufasa. I appreciate you guys. I'm thankful that you
appreciate
guys are my
you.
Brother. You are, you set very good examples of being great men for the community, great fathers. And I just want to give a shout-out to all the great fathers out there that's doing what they're supposed to do. And if somebody don't have to make you do it, you just do a you're a stand-up man all on your own, and you do what you're supposed to do. Even if you don't
That's
have
right.
to be perfect, but you just have to be willing to do the right thing and don't abandon your post. And so
That's right.
I'm thankful Go. That I see that, and my
Go
brother,
ahead.
And a lot of other men out there, and I just want to thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate that. Yes, indeed. My brother
Thanks.
Mufasa. Happy Father's
Day
to you,
was,
my brother. And,
man,
and how was your week?
Happy,
if you got any announcements, go ahead, my brother.
Happy Father's Day to you as well. And, boy, thank you for your kind words, sis. You know, we definitely appreciate it. You make sure you help to keep us on our post. You see us slacking. We know you're going to give us a little, that little small little in the butt. So we definitely appreciate it. Thank you so much. For
That's
continuing
right.
to keep us, help keep us on our post. And happy Father's Day from me, too, to all the brothers out there who are working hard to maintain and be involved in your family and your children's life. Because, you know, it's hard out here. It can be a struggle. And especially with
That's right.
in the current climate of what we got going on with COVID stressing people out and seeing unknown black men getting killed in the streets by police, you know, men already have enough on their plate. So, you know, I bear witness that it can be a challenge, but we got to stick together and stay in our hanging there and raise our children. So happy Father's Day to all the brothers out there as well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, just to, you know, second that, happy Father's Day to all the fathers doing what you do. You know what I'm saying? If you don't get recognized, we definitely here at Collective Minds appreciate you. And like Roger said, you know, just taking care of your business, doing what you're supposed to do, you know, not looking for no particular, you know, accolades. And you're just doing what you're doing because that's, you know, that's the right thing to do. Especially when it comes to, you know, taking care of your seeds and all that. You know, you bring a seed in, you have to water it, you got to fertilize, you got to make sure it's taken care of so it can produce and bear the, you know, the fruit. You dig what I'm saying? So you definitely want to be a great father to put your kids in the right position so they can be the best that they can be. So, you know, we salute y'all. If don't nobody else see you, we salute you. Also, now I do have an announcement. Now, I don't know if y'all heard about this real quick, but there have been a string of lynchings across the country of black people. I believe there have been it was six men and then one woman, they say, and these are spanning from New York, New York, California, Washington area, and Texas, where, you know, these lynchings have occurred, and a lot of people are calling for an investigation, right? I think one happened in Houston, and then, like I say, in California, Palmdale, and also in New York. And this is all within, let's say, the past 2 weeks. So a lot of people suspect, because a lot, they're ruling them suicides, but a lot of people suspect that there could be foul play. You know, so I just wanted to put that out there for the family to definitely be out here and be careful, because, like I say, there's a lot going on in this climate. And we just got to be careful of how we move and the things that we do out here, because it is a crucial time, right? So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there. And then also, remember, there was a solar eclipse this morning. So remember, there's a lot of good energy out because the solar eclipse was called the Ring of Fire, where the sun or where the moon moved in front of the sun. But because it was a little smaller than the sun, it created this ring around the sun. So they call it the Ring of Fire. And if anybody know on my Cosmic Care, when we get into these celestial events, you know, I believe, well, I know that there's a lot of energy attached to these events, just like full moons and, you know, other type of eclipses as well. So there was an eclipse this morning. The energy is still out there. The energy is still permeating. You know, make some affirmations. Think about what you want, you know, manifest it in your mind, and then work to see those things come into fruition. So I just want to put that out there for the family on my Cosmic Care stuff. Now's the time to, you know, think about the things that you want, you know, coming for the future.
Hey, was that viewable?
It wasn't viewable. It wasn't viewable here. No, it wasn't viewable here. It was viewable in Africa, a few countries in Africa, and in Asia, a few countries in Asia. So it wasn't viewable here. But nonetheless, again, we all part of this earth. So that energy, you know, is still out there. So, you know, just tap in. You dig what I'm saying? Just tap in. But
I have a quick question now.
Family, yes, indeed.
Now, with the lynching, because I didn't really hear about it. I may have heard about one or two deaths, but I didn't hear about it as the content that you're speaking of it. So are the people or the murders, are the victims actually being hung, or what type of death is involved here? Are they being hung?
Yeah, they are being hung. These are hangings. These are hangings. In a lot of the cases, initially they ruled them a suicide, but the outcry was so heavy that now the FBI is starting to investigate. But yeah, these were actual hangings. I give you a rundown. There was a guy named Malcolm Hirsch. He was in California. He was hung back in May. There's a guy Dominique Alexander was found in Upper Manhattan. He was also hanging from a tree. According to New York Daily News, the authorities ruled his death a suicide, and that was on June 9th. On June 10th, there was a 20-year-old named Robert Fuller who was hanging in Palmdale City, California, from a tree. So these are all tree hangings, right? And yeah, these are tree hangings. So, like I say, a lot of people suspect foul play. You know, we'll see as the investigation continues. But yeah, they were lynchings or hangings, allegedly.
Wow. Okay.
Man. Yeah. I wanted to add something to it real quick. Also, just a question because, you know, hearing about that story, the ones that have been going on, even ones in the past, I always put in my mind, like, y'all have heard me say, like, it ain't good out here. It's not good out here, and we have to be careful of our movement. But I be wondering, like, in these situations, let's roll with the narrative that, yeah, they were murdered. How do they be getting singled out? You know what I mean? Like, we're going to have to start make sure you stay in touch with your loved ones. You know what I'm saying? Call them, check on them. And if you, as a person, feel like you're going somewhere and if you ain't too comfortable, let somebody know where you're going. Let people know your movements and your whereabouts. Because, like I said, it is not good out here. And I hate to make people paranoid, but, I mean, it is what it is. It's not good out here, and we have to watch out for each other. We have to keep an eye on each other.
It is what it is.
That's right. It's not all sweet, you know. So definitely got to be, you know, be aware of our surroundings and what's going on. And especially with our kids, you know, one brother was 20 years old. He's still, I consider him a kid, you know, at my age, even though, you know, he's 20. But, you know, we got to be careful and look out for these younger folks, and they need to move a certain way, you know, as they navigate through this world, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
My daughter woke up this morning and she was like, Daddy, I'm going to go for a walk. And you know, I woke all the way up out of my sleep. I'm like, where are you going to go? I'm just going to walk around the block. I'm like, hold on, I'm going with you. And matter of fact, I just said, come on, we're going to go in the car. We're going to go to a little walking park. We're going together, you know, because it's wild out here. Like, no,
yes,
I don't trust you just walking outside and, you know, roaming around. The neighborhood should be safe, but you don't know who could be patrolling or rolling through your neighborhood.
Yes, indeed. So without further ado, family, once again, thank you for joining us. We have a great show lined up. Now, today we are talking about what are black people's demands, right? As we know, you know, with the George Floyd protest, it's been a lot of, you know, people apologize. There's been a lot of talk about systematic racism, about white supremacy. I mean, you click on Amazon and YouTube, they got Black Lives Matter everywhere. They're showing black movies and things. They started celebrating Juneteenth, which was this past Friday, which is unprecedented. You know, a lot of corporations have been celebrating Juneteenth. So a lot of people, let's say, in white society are, you know, claiming to be sincere. They're claiming that they're fed up about systematic racism, about the inequities that we have in our society. So we are asking black people, what is it that you want? What do we want? Because at this time, it's very crucial that we get the language together and we get our demands together as well. Because, you know, at this particular time, we are in a position where power is shifting. You know, a lot of people are jockeying for a position. And I believe that this is a time for black people to make a strong, bold move, you know, for the type of future we want to have for our kids, grandkids, and so on and so forth. So this is the time to be making the move, but also we have to be able to articulate our demands, be on point with each other, because people have made some demands back in the day as far as black people go, but, you know, you can shut down one person, you can shut down two, but when you have 100 people saying the same thing, 1,000 people, 10,000, 1,000,000, 10 million, if you have those amount of people on the same page screaming for this or demanding the same thing, then you start to see movement and you start to see action. So we're here today on Collective Minds asking the family, what is it that black people want? What type of world do we want to see in the future? Now is the time to make those demands. So give us a call. We're going to go to the call lines because we definitely want to hear from the family. The number is 929-477-1697. And, so we're going to get right into it. We always start with our resident queen, Queen Rigel. From your perspective, you are a black woman or, classified as a black woman. What are black people's demands, from your perspective? What do you think we should be demanding? Now, I'm using demanding purposely because some people say ask and request. But, I feel like at this point we need to demand and use that type of language. But I digress. So, Queen Rigel, from what you see, what do you think black people's demand should be at this point in time?
Actually, I want to say this. It's not even just at this point in time. It should have always been a demand because nobody ever had the right to be on top of our necks anyway. So we've always had what should have been coming from a position of demand and taking control. So I want to just say that. Secondly, I can see it as twofold. I know we speak a lot with Brother Mufasa, who always try to encourage the black community to separate. Initially, that separation wasn't necessarily on my radar because I always felt like, and still do, a great deal of me still do feel like we're all human, and I just want to get rid of the ignorant people, no matter who you are and what you are. I always wanted to separate from just ignorant, evil people that just want to do bad things. And I always kind of really came from that position. Now, if I have to be honest and break down the differences between the black community and the white community, I've always been honest in acknowledging the fact that white people, unfortunately, are in a rulership position, and they've always controlled the resources, and they was always kind of, unfair. And the system that governs the society is unfair because it always favored the ones in rulership. So if I'm going to come from that perspective, then I also know that whoever is in rulership is not going to be willing to just give up the power. They don't want to do that. That's like someone, just coming and trying to, that's not even a good example, so I won't even say that. I was going to use it as an example of someone coming to my house trying to take my house, and I'm like, okay, here, but that's not the same because this wasn't theirs to begin with. So they just basically just took control over land that wasn't theirs, and they just controlled it and did what they did. So, again, to just come from that perspective, since I also know that they're not going to be willing to just give up rulership, then I have to ask myself, okay, is separation good? And it's not necessarily a bad thing to separate. It's not a bad thing. We can separate and live a separate life from them since we are so different. And that way, if they want to rule their land how they want to rule it, then let them rule it how they want to rule it. And since they hate us so much, enough to kill us for nothing, spit on us, sick dogs on us, beat us, rape the women, kill the men, spray you down with water hose, lie on you.
Right.
Since you hate a group of people that much, then yes, separation is not a bad idea. And after separation, then I still need to. I can't neglect my original thought process, like I said, because it was never really on my radar to say separation. I always felt like, hey, let's just get rid of the evil. So I still think that needs to happen, because I've always said this, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I don't want no trouble. I don't want no smoke. I don't want that. I don't want to have to fight. I don't want you to hit me. I don't want to have to hit you. I don't want you to kill me. I don't want to have to kill you. So I don't have time for the foolishness. I want to live a peaceful life, and I don't want the negative energy around. So I want to live in a world where we're going to be able to treat each other fair and equal, no matter if we separate or not. That's really what I'm looking for. I'm not saying separation is necessary or is a bad or good thing. I think it wouldn't be a bad thing. I should say that. It's not bad. It's not bad to do it. And if we do go that route, I will support it. But if we don't go that route, what we still need is to be treated fair and equally on this land that belongs to us. And that's really, I think, the ultimate goal, so people can live in peace and harmony and not have to worry about another person hoarding resources and preventing them from being the best person that they can be on this land.
That's right. That's right.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, indeed. Well said. I say, family, if you're just joining us, that was Queen Raiju, and we are talking about what our black people demand in light of the George Floyd protests. You know, everybody's copping pleas, everybody's sorry, everybody's, you know, apologetic. So we're trying to figure out what are black people's demands, you know, as we move forward. So we go shoot that question to our brother Mufasa, and then we'll get to the call lines here in a second, family. Bear with us. So, brother Mufasa, you know, from where you sit, your perspective, my brother, what are black people's demands, or what should be our demands at this point?
Yeah, I want to acknowledge some stuff that Raiju said and said. And I agree with her. We should be able to live in peace. I mean, me as well, as an original man, I don't want drama neither. You know, I don't want to have to go to war, but if we have to, we do, you know. So I'm with you on that, you know, and I have to use your phrase here. However, yeah, that's her word there, however. However, since we know that since the beginning of time, I won't say the beginning of time. We know, like she said, we are under rulership here on this planet. We are under rulership. So we need to go ahead and acknowledge that. That's the situation. It is what it is. And be willing to say, hey, we have to negotiate with the ones that are in power. That's the first step. You know, it's just like two warring countries. You always have, you know, try to have a peaceful negotiation before you becomes the bloodshed. So I say, yeah, it's time to negotiate with the powers that be, with the ones in rulership. And we can look at the president that we have currently in office. I don't have issue with Donald Trump. And I feel like he's the right type of intellect that we can sit down and have this conversation with, and she'd be able to hash something out about what we as black people or do here in this country. You know, I'm not speaking at this time. I'm not speaking on for melanated people all over the planet. I'm just talking about black people here in this country of America. And we right. are old. I don't care how you look at it, how you ask it out. We are old for what was, for how we came to be here. We are old. So my thing is, we need to present a plan to the powers that be, to Congress. And I'm going to start with, of course, I'm going to start with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's plan, which you can find in the book he wrote, Message to the Black Man, or on the back of any final call. Or you can just Google up what the Nation of Islam or what the Muslims want. In those 10 steps, he said the first one was, we want freedom. We want a full, a complete freedom. Two, we want justice, equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed, or class, or color. Three, we want equal equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. And four, this is the one that's major on my list. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Now, there's more to this, and, you know, you can look that up and read it. For lack of time, I'm not going to go into the rest of it. But I always say, if we ain't talking about land, then we're not talking about nothing. This country owes us a territory of our own. That don't mean that everybody here has to just not deal with other races of people. But because of what was done to us here, and if you really truly want to be about the business of wronging a right, then you put us, give us our land, give us the area that we can call our own, help us to get it established, and give us the opportunity to do for ourselves. You know, if we're going to fall on our face, we do that. But you at least owe us the opportunity to set something up. This country is big enough. As I've heard all the excuses about, well, they ain't going to do that, and they don't want to do that. Like Roger said, you know, they don't want to free us. But at the end of the day, that's an excuse. Because if they really wanted to make a wrong or right, give black people in this country a space that they could do something for themselves with no interference. You know what I'm saying? Just help. All you do is ask, what do y'all need from us? Let's help. Let's give you the area. We're going to help you get it established, get the ball rolling, and then step back. Step back. You know, it's been talked back. About of us having Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi. These are like among three states that the Nation of Islam is asking to be a black state. You know, so that's I'm with that. You're a black person, and if that can be established, which it should be or shouldn't be a problem, then you're more than welcome to migrate to that state or feel free to stay, you know, where you're at. If you want to live amongst other people, do that. But we should have an area designated for those who said enough is enough and they don't want to be bothered. That's only fair. That's only fair. So my thing to America, if you want to be fair and truly righteous, then do that. Do that. Create an area, a territory, strictly for black people on this continent, fertile land that we can set up shop on our own and help us in the beginning to get that set up. If you're really about the business of being righteous, then that's what needs to happen. And we need to be taking this to, like I say, to the powers that be, to Congress, to the president. This is what we want. That's our demand. So I'll stop right there, and maybe I'll touch on this some more as we continue in the conversation.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That was our brother Mufasa Rock. And we are talking about what should black people's demands be. You know, at this point in time, with everything going on with a lot of these corporations and politicians and government officials, you know, everybody's apologizing, copping pleas, you know, systematic racism is so bad and we've done you so wrong. So we are having a conversation here at Collective Minds, you know, what should black people be demanding at this point? You know, I'm with Mufasa on the land thing because I do think that's a very vital piece. I just have a hard time, and we had this conversation before, I just have a hard time with the logistics of everything. You know, how would that work in America? Because I don't think they would section off the country and just give it to black people, even though I think, you know, that would be the right thing to do. I don't think they would acquiesce particularly to that demand, you know, as it stands right now. But my thing is, like, I would just cut directly to the chase. When it comes to the first demand for black people, I think that should be reparations, right? We live in a capitalistic society. Don't nothing move in America but the money. And the reason why we're able to be victimized is because as a group, we are poor. Again, as a group, we are poor. So, you know, they may hate us because we black, but they victimize us because we poor. If you look at all the police shootings or killings of unarmed people, shootings or chokings, Eric Garner, you know, George Floyd, Tamir Rice, who else, Philando Castile, you know, all these people, if you add up what they claim their particular crime was, it would be less than $500. You talking about my brother down in Louisiana was selling CDs and got killed. Eric Garner was selling loose cigarettes. George Floyd used a fraudulent $20 bill, allegedly. You know what I'm saying? We're using allegedly. Like, a $20 bill, you gonna lose your life over $20? Like, are we serious right now? So when it comes down to it, the economics is the start. And I feel like with reparations, we can buy some land. You know, we don't even have to ask them to particularly help us. Because, again, I don't even want them to help us. Even if they was to give us land, you don't even have to help. Just leave us alone. You see what I'm saying? Because when mugs help, then they start to want to make demand. They want to start telling you how to do things when they help. Yeah, they hold it over your head. Oh, look, I help. No. We don't even need your help. We don't. We'll figure it out and move as we go. So my thing is with the reparations, if they were to cut the check for the descendants of American slaves, we can figure out the rest. Now, people always talk about, well, how they going to do this reparations in UK? Well, they just showed how they can cut reparations with the coronavirus and the stimulus checks. They figured out within a matter of weeks how to dish out billions of dollars to people within a matter of weeks. They didn't need no committee to research. They didn't need no plan. They didn't need anything. Only thing they did was push that bill through Congress, and they printed those checks out. So as far as people saying, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going? They just already showed you how you can get it done. And our brother Bob Johnson, who was the founder of BET, he made a proposal for $14 trillion to black people in America, the descendants of slavery. $14 trillion to the, 40 million households in America. So that generates to about $350,000 per household. Now, a lot of people say that that's even on the low end, right? A lot of people say that's even on the low end, but I would even take that from Bob Johnson because I think that's a start. We're talking about giving black people, you know, each household $350,000 per household for you to do what you want. And I hear, you know, I hate to say it, but I hear this from black people as well. Oh, black people just go get them back the money. Black people go buy Jordans, Cadillacs, and this and that. They can do whatever they want with their money. We're concerned. We should be concerned with the black people who are on code, who are conscious, and who are going to build businesses and build wealth and do the right thing with their funds. I'm not really concerned about somebody who wants to spin it up on a club, Hennessy, whatever. And if they want to do that, that's on them, because nobody says that when the Jewish people got reparations or whoever else, they don't be like, well, what are they going to spend their money? What are they going to do this? You know, this is what I'm saying. We cannot be concerned with all the frivolous stuff. If you're going to do the right thing with your money, that's all you should be concerned with. We don't have time for nobody else wanting to be up under the slave master and go back and give their money back to them and be right back in the same position a year or two later. That's on them. We're talking about black people who are conscious, who are aware, who want to build, who want to buy land and do the right thing. So that's where I would start. And just real quick, what I would do is point the family to two literary pieces that really outline the case for reparations when it comes to black people. The first one is The Half Has Never Been Told by Edward Baptiste. The Half Has Never Been Told, Slavery and the Making of American Capitalism. Family, we do not understand how important slavery was to building the wealth of this country. We're talking about cotton, supplying the world with cotton. We're talking about tobacco. We're talking about sugar. Sugar was a delicacy for the longest time. Not everybody could afford sugar. It was one of those high end crops. And that fueled and allowed America to become the military power it is, that allowed the dollar to be as strong as it was, shall I say. So we don't understand the amount of contribution that our ancestors paid with their blood, sweat, and tears to build this country into the America that we know today, right? So I would say check out that book, The Half Has Never Been Told. And then also, there was a great piece by Ta-Nehisi Coates that he did for The Atlantic, and it's called The Case for Reparation, where he starts basically at the Jim Crow, right? He talks about slavery as well, but we also got to consider our family living through Jim Crow South, right? Some of us stand in the South, but then some of us moving north to face even more oppression in the North. When you talk about families, the great migration of families, you know, 15 or so million families moving from the South to the West, to places like Los Angeles, Oakland, and moving north to places like, you know, St. Louis, Chicago, New York, Detroit, things like that. So we have to take in consideration the totality of our trajectory from the slave ship to the South and all around the continental United States. Everywhere we went, we experienced massive forms of oppression. So that is also included in the bill, right? That's included in the bill for reparations as well, because we're talking about systematic government sanctioned laws and policies denying us ways to build generational wealth. So that's where I would start. You feel me? I would start with the paper. Don't nothing move but the money. We need that money so we can do what we want to do. We can do the things that, you know, that we haven't been allowed to do due to the lack of resources, right? So I digress. I'm going to leave that alone. And, we can get to the call lines, family. Hit us up, 929-477-1697. Yes, sir. Go ahead and get the call lines. Yes, sir.
Because we might have to have this conversation next week or down the road on this topic, because I'm totally in agreement with what you said about the paper and the finance. I'm with it. Now, here's what the thing for me, though, is why we need to have another conversation on the prioritizing. Now, for me, the land should come first, because let's look at it like this. That paper money that America's printing out could fall at any time. They may issue out
this
us $1 trillion, and then the next day, it's that paper don't mean nothing.
This is true.
We can
this
be
true.
Like talk like
it's gonna cost
like,
$100,000.
Exactly.
Right. This
so
is true.
I look
this
at it
true.
Like let's establish a territory first, and we hash that out first. So let's just say for sake of the argument, we hash out Georgia, Mississippi as a territory for black people. If that's negotiated, hashed out, I know you say you don't see them doing it, but let's say we get to that point. We all get on an agreement that separation is what we want, territory is what we need. We negotiate that. We get those two states. Once you get that and reparations be your second part, now when the check gets cut, if the money is still worth something, people can take that and take it to our territory and build on it. Because I would hate to see people across this country get the bag, but still, just not do it. I feel you say them do what they want to do, but if they do what they want to do, blow through it, or if it becomes worthless, then we're going to be in the same situation where we're still living amongst these people. So I look at it as having our territory first, so that if the dollar do crash, well, we still have our area that is ours. And if we have to defend that, which is just a later conversation, we have to defend that. At least we have a landmass that we can defend. So not that I'm disagreeing with you saying.
Indeed.
I'm just saying I think
right.
the priority should be a territory and then the money.
And I have a quick question, too. I'm going to reluctantly ask this question, though, Mufasa. Had it been discussed at any point in time, and again, this I'm reluctant because ask the question, you might know why I'm reluctant. But had it been discussed at any time that if a territory is set up and is it agreed upon and with everybody and we here and they're there, this is our territory, will there be like two presidents of the United States, or will it still be one president of the United States? Like, was that discussed as for when the nation, put that out there, that they discussed that part of it? And you don't have to answer right now if you don't want. We can wait till afterwards. But that is something that I wanted to know.
Let's talk about that later. But let me ask you this real quick. I'm going to answer a question with a question. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer there to be one president over America, over two territories? Or would you prefer that there be a president over the America file, and then whatever we call the nation that's designated, a territory that's designated for black people, have its own president? Which one would you like to see? Which one you think would be the best for us?
I think if we're separating, I think we would have to have our own president or ruler or person that's in leadership. But I think it would be, I don't know how that would look on the same land. I'm wondering if we should just be away from America to actually have that independency.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you look at Africa, Africa is on the same continent, but it's different countries. They have different presidents. So it can work on the same landmass.
Yeah, that's true. But, to answer your question, I do think we should have separate leadership. Because obviously the reason that we separate, because the leadership now is not fair by us. So
we definitely need
leadership.
Right, and then when you talk about, taxes, you talk about taxes and the IRS, do we pay taxes still to them?
I don't think we should
fund their wars and all that. Right. So we would have to
that brings another dynamic too. If we don't fund the war, then if there's a war that breaks out, we're on the land. So we're involved by default, whether we just get bombed because they bombed America or what.
Well, remember, it's just like I said, just because we're on the same landmass, just like with the countries of Africa, they have their differences and they disagreements and they battles, they still on the same continent, and they, so the same thing can happen here. I mean, that's why you have to know airspace, all this.
But America is smaller than Africa, though. Yeah, because America, when you think about the land
right.
of America and then the land mass of Africa, that's a major difference. Because I'm saying if somebody, like say, if China want to bomb America,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if we own America's soil and land, we might just get hit. Because because the land is not that wide.
Well, ain't Iraq and Iran right next to each other? Ain't Iraq and Iran right next to each other? I'm sure they right next to each other.
America has bombed
Iraq. So it can't that don't mean nothing. We can be close, and those are countries that's smaller than America. So. You just have to be careful. They have to know that, hey, if they're at war with America, you better understand that this is the new Kemet over here. And the
new
Kemet.
Don't bomb Alabama.
That's right. Or like I say, whatever we name it, whatever we call our territory, don't bomb our territory because that ain't got nothing to do with us. Yep. Don't bomb Wakanda because Wakanda ain't America.
Right.
So.
All right, we got
a whole lot more to talk about. We just talking about the first steps and what we want. But this is definitely a conversation to be having.
The demand.
All right. Okay. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. If you have a question or a comment. And thanks for calling.
How you guys doing? Happy
Thanks. Happy Father's Day to you.
Man. Yes, indeed.
Happy Father's Day, my brother.
Yeah, y'all going to your new? I got 30 acres down here in Louisiana. I sell you for $300,000 an acre. Rich farmers.
$300,000 an acre.
Right, $300,000 an acre.
What do you think I'm gonna do? Give it away?
No, come down on the price. That's how you negotiate.
No.
We got to
know.
Where there's it? Where there's a need, there's a supplier. Hey, you know, here's another thing. You got land. Monroe made it possible for you to have land in Liberia. It still exists today. Huh?
Liberia.
Liberia, West Africa.
This is our home. Right, but this is our home.
No. Well, see, now you're saying you want to have a territory. Well, you know, the Constitution don't allow for that. Now, you going down, coming down here in the South, down in Louisiana, and, well, I tell you what, Alabama and Mississippi, you going to take them states? Because the federal government has no control over states, right? States are sovereign.
Right.
So you going to have to convince all the people in Mississippi or Alabama to leave, right?
Right. Right.
All right, well, good luck. I ain't going to talk too much
about
that.
Yeah, I've been thinking that out, though, brother. We're going to talk about that.
No, I know y'all got that plan. We're going to sit back and watch. It's supposed to be interesting. But, Liberia is waiting over there. It's rich in land, a lot of land and resources. And in their constitution, it says that the only person that can become a Liberian citizen is the quote-unquote Negro. That's the way they set it up. And you have groups that's been complaining about that, like Lebanese and other groups that's living there that wants to be become citizens of Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
We
should have that there and one here. We need territory.
Exactly. I wouldn't be opposed. Exactly. Dual citizenship.
Which one you going to get first?
Well, we say we got Liberia, so we need to work on the one.
Yeah, I think what you should do is go on over to Liberia where you don't have to fight nobody for it, because them people in Mississippi ain't going to give you no Mississippi. And they fight. You know, them wars, like the Mexican-American War, the Spanish, them Mississippians fought for nothing. They volunteered.
Well, let me ask you this, brother. Say, for instance, let's just say hypothetically, that we could get Mississippi without there being a fight. Okay, that's hypothetical.
Mustafa, if I start hypothetical like that, I got a hell of a fever, man. Don't even go there.
Well, I this is what I want to know, though, because this is just for, you know, for this topic that we're on. If we could get Mississippi, do you think that we should have a territory here, a separate territory on this land? Do you think that we should have it?
No, you can't, because the Constitution doesn't allow that.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying we can't. I'm saying, should we, though? Should we be allowed?
Mustafa, you can shoot or water all you want. I keep telling you, the Constitution doesn't allow that.
Constitution can be changed. It can't be changed.
I mean, at one point, the Constitution it still does say that black people are not even fully human. So, I mean, do we
it never
just go
said
with that
anything
well?
About black people not. It never said anything about black people not being fully human. You know that that in 2018 there was 24 states where blacks make up less than 10% of the state population. And of those 24 states, blacks make up less than 5% in 14 states. And those include children less than 18 years of age. So the black population is over 20% in 8 states, which is Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, Maryland, South Carolina, Alabama, North Carolina, Delaware, and, of course, the District of Columbia. You know it's not a state. And here's another thing
right.
that people, I hear people always talking about this great big population. The black population is about 39 million. Of that, you got 25.6 million that's between the ages of 18 and 65, men and women.
Right.
You got 4.9 million that's above the age of 65, and your children under the age of 18 is about 8.8 million. So that 25.
Right.
Now, you can't take the children because the children would have to denounce their own citizenship when they go. I mean, when they get grown, because they were born United States citizens. So you got those over 65, and you got that 25 point some odd million between the ages of 18 and 65. Less one, because I ain't going.
Right. 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 But no, but see, that's why I was saying, Carla, that because I'm trying to work out the logistics of what my brother Mufasa be saying as far as the separation, and I'm running to a brick wall every time. Like you say, the Constitution don't allow it. I don't see America allowing. And then, like Roger brought up a good point, do we have two presidents in these? So
it's just one president over the 50 states. But let me ask you a question. Who's going to build your infrastructure and everything? Because the people in Mississippi leave, they're taking their factories, their sewer systems, their electrical supply and everything with them, right?
Yep. Well, let me hold on before y'all go too far. Remember, and right in this conversation, I'm just saying what I want. Now, as far as the logistics of everything y'all are saying, I feel y'all on that, and I would love to have that conversation. I'm just trying to get y'all to agree or disagree. It's your choice. That do we deserve, should we have our own territory? Should we have it? And then if y'all believe then we can hash out that other stuff later.
Well, that's the Republic of New Africa that wanted five southern states. Over Delhi. His wife is still in Louisiana. Obadiah is dead. You got Brown up there in St. Louis. What's Brown's name? I can't think of his name. Mr. Fison is dead. Alvin Brown is up there in St. Louis. So it was the Republic of New Africa that said that they wanted to have five southern states.
So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not what you want, let me ask you that, brother. If you don't want that, tell me what do you want? What do black people, as a black person,
I don't know what black I don't know what particular black people want. I'm satisfied with what I have.
All right, so
personally,
you good the way it is now. Okay.
Yeah, but I sell you this land.
No, and we're gonna keep that in mind, brother.
Yeah, we'll keep that in mind. We
I'm gonna be watching now. Huh?
Now, Carl, I do have a question for you. You saying that you're fine the way that you are, and what you have. Do you see for yourself when you look around, when you observe things, and just make an assessment over the way things are ran? Do you notice, or do you see, or recognize the difference when it comes to the way black people are treated in America, or do you think that we are just treated equally and the same?
Well, treated by who? You know, up until last Thursday, which was the 18th of June, from Memorial Day weekend in Chicago, 359 had been shot and 65 murdered. And ain't no white police doing that.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is orchestrated by white supremacists.
All right, well,
not.
Yeah, you can say that, but when it starts happening in your territory, I'm going to see how you handle that. You got
that's
to handle
right.
all this stuff by yourself.
That's
yeah,
right.
Be
exactly.
Yeah.
But look,
right.
here's the thing, though. History has proven when black people are left to their own devices, we thrive. You can look at Black Wall Street. You can look at Wilmington, North Carolina, Rosewood. You can look at Forsyth County, Georgia. There was hundreds of cities, like we're talking 60 years after the Civil War, where black people thrived. Businesses, bus lines, CAD, like all type of things going on when we are left to our own devices. It's not until they come around. When I say they, I mean the white supremacists. When they come around, then you start to see black on black crime, quote unquote. Then you start to see the drugs.
That's not true,
now,
Kevin. That's not true.
That is very.
You have black entrepreneurs. Well, okay. Well, that's what you say. But you had black entrepreneurship going on big time in the United States from 1600 through 1865. There's books written on it.
No, this is fact.
There's records on it.
I didn't miss. Yes, I agree. It was black people getting to it.
These people wasn't living separately. They was operating within the United States. You got black communities today in areas that are doing very well, have a very high standard of living. But to say that black folks were living fine, I mean, where? You surely can't say over in Africa.
No, I'm talking about on these United States land. I'm talking about 50 to 60 years after slavery, when you had, you know, black millionaires being created like Annie Malone, Madam C.J. Walker, all these folks. These were happening at the turn of the 20th century when people was getting to it and black people was making money.
Well, you still can today. You still can today.
No, I agree. No.
Times are better. I think times is better now than they have been before.
Right.
But the thing is that, see, just like tell you about Pomoja School over there on Enright and Vanderbilt,
right.
You know where it is, right?
Yes, sir.
The principal Angel, say that she only has 10% of her classes is reading. I think it's a kindergarten, but I don't know which grade is reading at a level. Only 10%. She asks people to come in and help tutor those that can be around. Sure, you know, anybody just can't be around kids. Nobody show up except a group of whites from Sigma Chemical Company, and I believe they're over there on Compton Avenue by the railroad tracks over there across from the old Vishon Mill.
Right.
They came over, they brought their own books, and they work with the kids.
So, so the
blacks
reason,
don't come
now
over.
You should
blacks
know
don't go in there
the
to help
why
kids.
That happens, the reason why that happens like that is because our communities are so deprived of resources. So you have those white people who actually create the conditions of lack of resources, so they're able to come in and act as the savior. But no, we understand that it's
that's not true.
That the way that is
true.
I mean, that's they do this.
Well, then, so where did I get the resources? Where did I get the resources to rebuild? Well, where did I get the resources where did I get the resources to rebuild the baseball fields at Matthew Dickey for the RBI tournament back in 2011.
You have
and they
to
still
answer
looking pretty good
you
today.
Tell us, right, you tell us where you're
right,
going
to you have
to
answer
I went to,
right.
I went to some of my white business partners, and they contribute.
There you go. There you go. Because they have the resources. They hoard
exactly,
the resources.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, but what is what, you, what is a little
so,
spare
right,
time to go work with a kid in school? How do you measure resources by volunteering going into school, man?
No, what I'm saying is we have so many. Okay, go ahead. Right, I'll let you get it.
Well,
and
you
this
was getting
is not
ready
to
go.
Make excuses
I can
either.
Hear you was getting ready to go there. You was getting
yeah,
ready to go on
this
that
is
path.
Not to make any excuses either, but what I'm saying is we have so many issues in our community that stem from lack of resources. You know, you got parents working 2 and 3 jobs. You got just all type of things that go on due to the lack of resources that a lot of parents in our community don't have the time to do that, which is unfortunate. You know, this is not the
well,
make
what about
excuses,
these organizations
yeah,
and these groups? These organizations and groups don't have time. They got time. Wait a minute. They got time to meet. You had the New Black Panther Party. They used to meet over. Wait a minute. They used to meet over at Marcus store over there on Market. They didn't have time to go into schools.
I don't know. Maybe
now.
They didn't know.
You got Zaki's organization. You got the Nation of Islam. All these people. You got the NAACP. They don't have time to go. 100 men. When they built their business over there on their new building over on Del Mar, they had 100 men,
right.
A building for 100 men, but no black men working to build a building. But you mean to tell
right,
me the Deltas,
crazy.
They don't have time?
They probably,
oh,
listen,
on.
I don't know what the situation is. I'm sure, you know, they do. I don't know. Maybe they don't know about it. It could be a lot of things, brother. You know what I'm saying? It could be a lot of things.
I can
but
tell
you
exactly what. Want me to tell you what it is? Want me to tell you what it is, Kevin?
You can tell us what you believe it is.
Break it down. What you believe.
They
go
don't
ahead.
Care. That's what. You remember Onion Harden?
I don't
That's
believe
what
that.
He said, too.
Yeah, I remember Onion
He
Harden.
Said.
Yeah.
Well, he said they just don't care. Now, the only
no,
way that you can
lie.
Show that what he said is wrong, then do it.
Right, exactly. And I believe that's a lie because I care and I didn't go. You know, but I didn't
Nobody
know
knows.
You know what I'm saying?
You know who worked hard to get that school over there? And I took Kevin Evans, me, Bertha, Docket, and Al dead now. Bertha dead to anybody but me. We took Kevin Adams up to see the schools up in Kansas City that's operated how Sean Nichols wanted to have a school like. And he said
right.
that he could have it. I had time to do it.
Right.
They had time to do
there
it.
There you go. There you go.
And you
yeah,
got the same
it,
thing
did.
In Kansas City. When the time comes to the tutor, you got white groups that's coming out of the universities that's tutoring with the kids up there, too. But anyway,
right.
coming
that's
out of the
universities.
That's
yes, indeed.
Right. Yeah, thanks for
I'm
going to
see y'all in Nation.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, Colin. Appreciate it.
See, that's exactly why, though.
Right.
That's why we do need our own separate territory so that people with those like minds can congregate in one area. Some of the reasons why people do get tired and don't do what they're supposed to do is because they get pacified by being in the
right.
current system that we're in. You get pacified. So we need
right.
a separate territory so we can take like minds, people who want to do for us, by us, can go to that territory and build. If you don't want to be a part of that, then you just stay in America. But for those who want to do something different, who want to just do it with other black people, we have an area, we need an area that we can do that on.
Yes, indeed,
but
family. If you just joining us.
By this current system.
Yes, sir. Right. If you just joined us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, we are talking about what are black people demanding, you know, in light of the George Floyd protests, and everybody seems to be, you know, copping pleas and giving out donations and this and that. So we're trying to figure out what, as a collective, do black people demand. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Let's go.
Okay.
Area
code 314-361. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 314-361. Okay, maybe they're just listening. Area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Just a comment.
Thank God, there you go.
Okay. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller. Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. What I want is for black people to stop victimizing black people. That's what I want. And I'm a black man. So, and
that's right,
like
man.
I told
yeah.
you guys before, white people ain't going to give you shit if we can't quit committing crimes against ourselves.
Well, let me share something with you, Carla. I don't think that's true because...
No, that's not white supremacy. That's not white supremacy. That's not white supremacy running around up in Chicago with guns shooting up neighborhoods. That's not white supremacy, buddy. That's black people pulling triggers on black people. Black people robbing black people. So...
Well, here's the thing.
So
yeah, right. But
so before they listen to what we want... We need to get our shit together. So,
that's not true. That's not true
saying.
Because when we all right, Carla,
okay,
we got you. Let me respond.
Thank you, Carla.
Yeah. Let me respond because that's not true. I hear that all the time. What about black on black crime? What about this? What about Chicago? Those are just excuses. Those are just people saying black people deserve to be victimized because black on black crime, because of Chicago. The problem with that is absolutely false. If there was no black-on-black crime, we would still have to deal with systematic oppression and racism. How do I know this? History is
because there was a time when
teach.
It wasn't black-on-black crime.
There was a time when black people were wearing suits every day.
Exactly.
Black people had
businesses.
Black people
by
had two-parent households. Black people were not calling each other niggas. Black people were not calling
exactly.
women bees. We had two-parent households, wore suits
vote.
Every day, and we're still
and
being lynched with water hoses and dog sticks on them. So that is a complete
exactly.
lie. What they tell you about Chicago and black-on-black crime, that is a complete lie. They use that as an excuse to victimize, but it's always going to be something. They always come up with
it's
something when it's Emmett Till.
They try
was,
that's
exactly.
reverse
don't
psychology.
Fall for that trick.
They try,
don't
right.
fall for that
right.
trick because
that's
white
a,
people
yeah,
kill white people every
thing.
Day, and nobody says, "Oh, what about white on white crime?" They kill each other every day. So let's stop with the until we stop victimizing each other. They're not going to listen to us. That is absolutely false. And history will prove that that is false. If we were
history
to stand
has
up
already
right
proven
today,
it.
If no black person said, nigga, if we all wore suits, didn't sag, two-parent households right today, we still would have to deal with systematic racism. This is what I'm saying to you, Carla. Like, so we got to get out of there. We can't do that. You're a black man, so you got to understand these things.
And another problem, the fact that he said white people ain't going to give us. That lets you
exactly.
know already it's a problem. This ain't
right.
They shouldn't. We shouldn't have to. I mean, the fact that you even have to say they ain't going to give us, that implies that you're
exactly.
saying that this is their world and this is these are their resources. That just because they stole them and they hoarding them, that does not mean that they have the right to those things. They are some thieves.
Right.
So the fact that you said they ain't going to give us, that lets
as
you know.
If
they
that
are lets
parents.
You. That should
right.
let. Right. That should let you see the big problem that we're dealing with now. Because in your mind, and not just the caller, but so many other people say they ain't going to give us. That alone is a big statement. This ain't there
right.
to give.
And that's a misconception, exactly. And that's a misconception because the thing is, for so long, family, we have just taken the abuse. We have taken the abuse. We let these people co-opt our movements and put these you know, different type of Negroes in front of us to praise and say they're our leaders and so on and so forth. And we have just taken the abuse, and we just been comfortable living and just hoping that we don't get affected by white supremacy. That's what a lot of us have been doing for the longest. But now those days are coming to an end. You see what I'm saying? Those days are coming to an end where we're not going to sit and just take it. Now we're going to demand what we want. It's not theirs to give, like Queen Rigel said. We're demanding something. And also the second part of this conversation is, if our demands are not met, what are we going to do? Right? And I'll just give you a quick list from where I stand. If the demands that we seek are not met, we can do a few simple things by disengaging from their system altogether. That means not joining their military. That means not voting for their political offices, meaning mostly national elections, not voting for the president. That means not paying taxes. That means withdrawing from their criminal justice system. If we do all those things, the system is going to collapse because it relies on black bodies so heavily. If we're not engaging in those things, the system will collapse on its own, and they know this. You know, that's why, since if we don't have a military to push our demands, we can use tactics like that to push our demands, meaning, again, withdraw from their systems, not pay taxes. We can do a bunch of things, not joining their military, and we can just watch the whole thing collapse on its own, you know, if enough of us are willing to take that particular stand, you know.
Yeah, let me add this too real quick. With that same fire too that Ryder said that made her statement, and also in yours, that's why we got to quit saying we can't get lame. There is no excuse, because they should, they by right owe us.
The land is here, like you said, Mufasa. I agree. We can take the land.
Yeah, the land is here. We can do that. We don't even need that permission.
Yeah, that's why I was saying.
We don't even need that permission.
But that's why I was saying that you negotiate first, peacefully. And if that don't work, then
you
do what you have to do. But
I
don't want to hear the excuses like it can't, it won't, and all that. No,
exactly.
If we know that's
exactly
what we want, then we ain't stopping till we get what we want.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I agree. And another thing too, really quick, and then we get to the call. So I want to just throw this out there, because you, Brother Kevin, touched base on something I thought was very important, interesting, as far as not paying taxes, which we shouldn't anyway. And I know that may scare a lot of people. It's ways around
right.
that. Now, especially starting off with a mentality of detaching from even the resources that they hoard. Let them know, screw your resources. Because a lot of the stuff that they implemented into our community anyway, they have infiltrated our culture, and a lot of the stuff we don't need.
Right.
So if we detach from even buying the things, that's exempting us from even paying taxes, because they get us when we buy things. That's how they get our taxes, when we buy their resources,
right.
the resources that they hoard. So we don't, like we've been saying before, don't buy. Limit or limited. Make a, you know, limit the spending to very, very limited things, and that will also have an effect on the taxes that we will not be paying if we limit our spending. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Right,
there you go. Area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey there, Collective Minds. Yeah, I got a couple comments.
Hey.
Peace,
hey,
peace.
Father, happy Father's Day.
Hey, thank you, thank you. So, hey, I got a couple comments and a question. I'm going to comment on this separation real quick, because myself and Mustafa was talking about this a little while ago. Yeah, but he's been talking about it for a long time, and we got to getting on him with it. And I don't see this working. I still, after we talked about it, I could see it working if people of today were patient. But again, it goes back to what Piyaki said, that it's not legal, it's not allowed. It won't happen because it's not allowed. Even though the Constitution can be changed, it wouldn't work because it would get blocked over and over and over again. even in this
right.
even in this culture that we got going on right now, to where black people can almost get anything from the government for appeasement's sake, just to get us to quit burning shit down.
Right.
And then, like Tiaki said, how would you get all these people to leave? And I came up with a solution where it would be a generational thing, to where you can't just make these people leave, but they would be all up in arms, so it'd be a civil war first. It'd be a civil war, definitely, because those people in the South ain't playing. They will pick up their guns and start shooting some black folks with a quickness.
Right.
It would definitely be a civil war.
I don't know if you're going to – but touch into what you said. Like, you had a good idea. I thought that was a good idea what you said about migrating. So if you want to touch into that.
Yeah, so, again, it'd be generational. It won't happen immediately in today's – age of where everything has to be immediate, people have to live in their idea right now. No, you have to be more realistic than that and understand that this is something for your grandchildren. This is something so your grandchildren would have a better existence, not for you. So it's like Martin Luther King. He didn't march around for himself. He marched around for his grandchildren.
Right.
But today, with cell phones and all this immediacy, it doesn't work. So it would have to be something for it to even be somewhat civil. For the separation to take place, it would have to be people that are there are grandfathered in. So the white people that already live in those places and the black people that already live in the places that ain't deemed black country, black America, they would be grandfathered into where they're at. But the minute that you want to set up a business as a black person in white America, you want to set up a business, they'd be like, nah. Or if you want to move out of your parents' house and move into your own place, they're not going to sell you property. You want to change your apartment because the rent got a little bit too high? You can't rent another apartment in black America. So now you have to transition, in white America. So black people have to transition to white America. And to be the same thing in black America, where if you're white down there, yeah, you can keep your land. And then you pass it down when you die. Your kids can continue to keep that land unless it got sold. Now, if they can't keep it, it got foreclosed on, or eminent domain by the new black nation, which might cause another civil war. That would cause all kinds of civil wars. Or, but they would get paid what they consider fairly for the land that's being possessed, repossessed by black America. But the people that are there get to stay there until they decide that they want to go somewhere else. And the only other place they can go is somewhere outside of the borders in which they're not the same color of. So it would be generational. And after about three generations, everything will be, black people down here and white people up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that was what we were discussing. That's what I kind of came up with kind of on the fly. And
that's something that could be held out.
Mm-hmm. But we have to look down the road. We can't look right now. Now, I was thinking about it a little bit on that again later. Where would people like me fit? But like I said, Mustafa's my cousin. We share a grandmother. And our grandmother's mother was a free slave. So we know our descendancy straight from slavery. But if you were to, and Rigel knows, if anybody on this that's listening to this show saw me, I would just be some average white guy. So how would I fit into this equation? And people like my daughter and my son, where will we fit in this? Because both my daughter and my son have black mothers, but they're light as hell.
Right.
Well,
let me say one more thing. One more quick thing.
Identify it. Oh, go ahead.
I identify as black.
Because I don't want to go too far, off of the subject matter, because that's something we can have another conversation about. But do you feel that's something that we as black people should want, though? Do you think we should want a separate territory?
Yes.
Or do you think we should want something else? So that's basically what this topic is
about. I believe in segregation because the integration experiment is not working so good. Well, it might have worked if welfare wasn't implemented at the same time. If the welfare system wasn't revamped in such a manner to destroy our culture as well. So it's not just integration that is a problem. It's welfare. If you move all these black folks down into that area and then continue welfare, you're going to have the same problem. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to Tommy, Sotomayor the other day, and he said the first thing that black people are going to have to do if we were to start a new country down in America, get a piece of land ourselves, the first thing we'd have to do is have a civil war against niggas. Because niggas are our problems. Black people are good. We have a problem with the niggas. They are the 3 to 13% of our population of black people that give our whole group a bad name. To make us fall on the time.
Let me hop in there real quick because it's not now
okay,
we know that the nigga
is
an invention
it's the fact
of
that
white people and what they do. What they do is put the niggas on Front Street. You see the niggas on the news.
It's the problem
you see
that
the niggas in the media,
it is.
And they make it
seem
like
that's
the
majority
of black people. Right, there you go.
I was
going to
go there with
it.
That the media,
yes,
the media pumps them up to the front, yes. And by doing that, it makes black men like myself and you and Mustafa and Rigel, it makes their kids see that and say, there's something wrong with me because this is how I'm supposed to be, but my parents are like this and they keep trying to make me be like this.
Exactly.
But
there you go.
But the world is telling me that I'm supposed to be like this. I'm supposed to only care about Jordan, and I'm not supposed to wear a belt. And I'm supposed to have crazy hair where it makes me not look respectable. You know, it's a system. It's a system that's really letting it's – and that's where I would say we have some white supremacy because they pushed the welfare because they knew it would destroy families. They pushed the media to show this derogatory stuff. You see that even though Bill Cosby, I don't think he's guilty.
I don't think he's guilty. I'm with you.
I think he's been martyred, but they then took his show off the air that showed good black people.
Right.
And now you got silly shows like
bro,
Blackish.
We're going to have to release you, bro. But so we're going to get back another time.
Okay, but I got one more comment, too. I got one more thing.
Make it plain. Make it real quick.
Okay. Reparations. Do you know how economics work? Just like you stated that if we did get the reparations first, tomorrow the money might not be any good? Well, yeah, because all that money has got to be printed, so our inflation would be so damn high that it wouldn't be worth a darn. And then how will it work? Because, like I said, I look white. You can trace where my grandfather on my father's side was released from a plantation down in Maryville, Arkansas, and I know that my great-grandmother was a freed slave, but I look white. So does that mean that my father, myself, and my two kids would all get reparations? And then that means, will my father's son, his other son and his other daughter and all their kids, and my brother's kids, they are blonde hair with blue eyes. But they know that their great-granddaddy was a slave. Do these two blue-eyed, blonde-haired kids get reparations? How does it work? And are we going to kill our economy to figure out who all gets this money?
Right. Well,
we just get the ones that we know for certain first. Right.
Exactly, and then
you got blue eyes, you got to wait till we late on down the line. We get the one. It's almost like the one that filed taxes already. They got they checks first with the stimulus, and then the other ones got worked on late on. So the ones that we for certain of, bam, then the other ones have to get worked out. So I don't know if you guys want to try to work it out. One more caller or what? Because I know we still got calls we can try to get one more.
We got a little time. Let's go.
Eric Coast 609-310 calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment, make it plain.
I'm just kinda listening because I came in a little late. So you can catch another caller that kinda came in.
Okay.
Late.
No
yes,
problem.
Indeed.
Eric Coast 750 call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
Hi, this is Sister Niambe Muhammad. I wanted to
call in.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I wanted to address something that the brother that just spoke said. He said he is for segregation. We are not seeking segregation. Segregation was forced upon us, and we must be aware of the power of language, because that word scares a lot of black people, number one. And that's where the confusion lies. We are seeking separation. Asians are not segregated. Indians are not segregated. Africans are not segregated. They live and work and own businesses in their own separate communities. This is a natural, separation is a natural process. The segregation was something that was forced upon us. So we're not seeking segregation. We are seeking separation, and we are seeking a land of our own, so that we can. We are the only people that are dependent upon our oppressors for our survival. Every other people have their own separate communities, and they're not considered racist. It is only the descendants of slaves, because we seek to be free from our oppressor. We seek to build an economy and a world of our own, and that language, racism, you know, reverse racism, that's only used to scare us and to hinder us into not going for self. But separation is ordained by God. Segregation was not. Separation is a commandment from God. When God sent Moses to Pharaoh and instructed him to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go," that is the command from God. And that is a natural order, a natural process. So that's all I want to offer.
Yes, indeed. Great. Thank you, Carla. Yes, indeed. And that's why, again, we are, you know, trying to hash this out, because, like she said, the language is very important, because we're in a society where they weaponize language against us. You dig what I'm saying? They use certain words. They write up certain laws and things, and they use the language to do trickery and deceive us through the language. So next thing you know, you got a bill, you got a civil rights bill or affirmative action bill that includes minorities, when it was really built for black people. But minorities includes gay white men. Minorities include white women. Minorities include Asians, Latinos, all these other people, one-legged midget humpback. Like, minority includes so many things, but they got over on us because they use certain languages. So the call is very right. We have to be, precise with the language that we use, you know. We coming down. Look, we at the last 3 minutes. I'm going to let you guys wrap it up, but I want to just quickly thank the callers and thank everybody. We appreciate you, and, you know, look out for us next week. Brother Mufasa, I'm going to let y'all go.
Look, I'm going to put this out in the atmosphere. Put this out in the atmosphere now, because this was a good conversation. I would love to have part two to this next week. We got some callers we didn't get to, and things was just starting to get juicy. So if y'all didn't get answered, you know, we're going to try to hash it out so we can continue this conversation next week.
I'm with that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm with that.
All right.
Queen Roger?
It sounds like it is written.
Let's do it.
It is written. But I will be quick. I just want to thank everybody for calling in. Whatever I was going to say now, I guess I'm going to wait until next week and say it, because it's written. So happy Father's Day again to everybody. Thanks for all the support.
Yes,
continue to support us. Tune in with us next week to continue this conversation. And if you have any other show topics or ideas for any other weeks, feel free to email us at collectthemindsyahoo.com. And always follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Jeez.
Long live Lil Cliff.
Collective Minds.
You hear me?
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, the brothers.
some things, dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found